This is the SMB Community Podcast, the longest-running MSP-focused podcast in the industry.
I'm James Kernan. My background's IT sales, marketing, and leadership, and most recently, M&A advisory services.
And I'm Amy Babinchak. I help MSPs run stronger, more profitable firms from a tech-first perspective.
Here, you'll find practical insights for MSPs and IT service providers. Powered by Small Biz Thoughts.
Hey, welcome everybody. Guess what? I have a different co-host today. I have Elizabeth Copeland, Elle Copeland, she goes by. Hey.
Hey, good to see you.
Hey, yeah, Elle's a co-owner of Tier 2 Tickets and partner at Rising Tide Consulting Group. It's a consulting group that treats MSPs as whole businesses, not implementation checklists. Her life's work is convincing the most technically brilliant people in the room that the human stuff and the cringy parts are worth getting a good look at. Hey, welcome to the podcast, Elle. Thanks for filling in for James today. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Big shoes, but just glad to be of service.
An MSP question of the week. How do I manage all of this shadow IT? This is the great shadow IT awakening. For the longest time, MSPs kind of ignored it. Didn't think, yeah, it's not happening in my clients. Nah, they're not smart enough to install their stuff. Oh yeah, we don't give them admin rights to their computers so they can't install anything. I'm not worried about it. Nobody has any tools for managing it. And then AI came along, not to mention SaaS apps. I mean, I got worried about it in SaaS apps, but now comes along AI and shadow IT is raging in all of their clients, and I think MSPs are finally waking up to the idea that there are hundreds of cloud SaaS apps and shadow IT happening in every single client they have. And what worries me most about this, and the reason I like this question, is because MSPs have lost control over the environments by ignoring this problem. And now here it is, they're in the full force of it. And you have to somehow regain your client's confidence. Like, they just did all this stuff without you. So why do they need you now? Like, we signed up for all this SaaS. We downloaded all this AI. We're using all this AI. We didn't use you.
You know, losing control of the environments is one thing, but you just hit the nail on the head to me, which is the relationship. If they don't have confidence in you as a trusted advisor, as a consultant, then you've lost the point of the relationship. The benefits of shadow IT, for what it's worth, is that you have people that can sign up for a free trial, try a bunch of stuff, you know, copy and paste whatever they want in that no one's watching. And then, you know, add a personal credit card, even if it's not a business card. And so, like, you have all of this stuff that they're able to go through and iterate and try new things quickly. And there's a lot of people who aren't tech savvy, as our end users, who are just now getting to feel like they can actually do tech stuff. And so the relationship on it is turning on its head. There are things that they used to come to us for that they can get an answer from something that is in many ways free.
Yeah, they started off Googling it. And then, you know, 1.3 million answers is a little too many to sift through to figure out which one is a good one. Mm-hmm. But with the chat AIs, you just ask and it's like, oh, here's the answer. Oof. Mm-hmm. You got to decide whether or not you think that answer is relevant to what you asked and is accurate. But, you know, most people don't worry about that. They just go, oh, cool, the answer. Thanks.
Right. I think that there's definitely a level of, in a relationship, it's not just a transaction. A relationship is trust. A relationship is communication. It is, constant feedback. And I think one of the things that is a part of this conversation is, okay, so you weren't there at the beginning. So now you want to come in and give them a bunch of rules about this thing that has helped them with their job. You want to come in and tell them they can't have that and they must do it your way. And while there absolutely are things regarding governance and security that we do need to have in mind, we should be, as advisors, as trusted advisors, be thinking ahead of them, providing training opportunities. I appreciate MSPs that are in a certain vertical because you can specialize. But sometimes MSPs that are in a broad variety of categories can take ideas from other clients that they're using and give them to other, you know, so being forward thinking and not just fill, you know, not just completing tickets and giving people no's, but giving them a relationship and the agency to know that they've made the right choice with you as their advisor.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great way to tackle the problem. You mentioned governance is such a huge issue, right? Almost all of these AIs, I mean, practically the only exception is Microsoft's Copilot in that it's, you know, guarded in your tenant. But all of the others, they're sucking up your data into the cloud. They may or may not be using it in their training data. Depends. If you're paying them enough money, they won't use it in their training data, which your clients are probably not paying them that money because they found out they could use it for free. So we have to bring those governance questions to them and problems and educate them about it. Because if we don't, it will come back to bite them someday. It's like, so you can go to your client and say, hey, I see you're using all of these, you know, AIs and these new cloud apps. We need to look at what they have access to for your data and make sure that it's controlled and approach that from that data governance way instead of the traditional IT way of, oh, you want that? Yeah, wait, open a ticket, wait a week, I'll go get it for you, we'll buy it. How many licenses do you need? Like, this is a whole different conversation today. Right. So you need to approach it in a completely different way.
Yeah, and like the whole concept of agency, specifically when we're talking about the risk of all of that information being put out there, first thing I tell all of my girlfriends is like, you're using ChatGPT as a journal and like, that's all discoverable. Like if you were brought to court, all of that information that you put in there, A, is a liability. But B, with that, I think a lot of times when we talk about FUD, when we talk about like how we sell products and we want to sell them on that fear, uncertainty, and doubt, we really don't give them real risk. We really don't tell them what it means when certain numbers are used. And so as a trusted advisor, it's super important to say, I say numbers, but what data is being put into whatever systems. So I think it's really important as the trusted advisor to have these candid conversations with your customer to be able to say, look, this is a great tool. Here are the realistic ramifications of this information getting out there. And giving them the agency to be able to say with you, this is the level of risk that I'm willing to take and what we want to have off-put or offset by your skill or resources.
Yep. And you definitely have to empower them rather than restrict them.
The SMB Online Conference is June 23rd through 25th, and registration is open now. 3 days of practitioner-focused sessions, pricing, M&A, AI, private equity, service delivery. No vendor speakers, no fluff. The theme is profitable is enough. If that resonates, you should be there. Small Biz Thoughts community members get in free. Everyone else, $399 at smbonlineconference.com.
So, Elle, let's talk about is the MSP industry too fragmented in how we share knowledge? This topic is about the so many places that the tribal information is shared today. I remember when we didn't have so many places, and it made us all sort of move as one. And now we're like super fragmented. Like, so I'll really date myself here because I did this MSP stuff for like 23 years. So way back at the beginning of time, we were in the Yahoo groups when that was a thing. And one day, somebody said, you know, I found a better antivirus. And everybody in the entire Yahoo group, and there was a couple thousand of us, moved to the new antivirus product. Because we all agreed that this was a better way to go. We just all went, whoop, and everybody started using Trend Micro. And it was massive. And that kept happening. The vendors, I don't know where in the world people go for this tribal knowledge. Now it's like all you get are memes, and I've got 10 different social media accounts now. I don't know how many groups I belong to.
Right. I think it's really interesting. You go to any conference and the first conversation when you sit down to lunch or whatever is, what's your stack? So like you have people that even if we're not all doing the same thing anymore and that things are segmented off, we're still chasing that high of like, surely someone else is doing the right thing. And I just have this one thing that I need to do or find or fix. And so as I've joked before that we kind of have this fiefdom of the different, you know, organizations that we might adhere to or get content from or get our products from. There's always the question of like, what works with what I'm using for my PSA, my RMM, et cetera. What am I missing? And so, yeah, if you're talking about products, there's one thing, and then you're just talking about solving stuff, there's a whole other exponential level of craziness that might be happening there.
Yeah, I don't know why we always feel like we're missing something. And I absolutely hate the word stack.
Right.
I don't know.
That's what bodybuilders use.
Is it? Maybe that's why I hate it. I don't know. I enjoy weightlifting, but I hate the word stack. I'm like, it's something about it's awful.
Well, it's sterile. It's kind of sterile. Weird sort of sterile. Yeah.
It's like standardized too. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, here's, what are you doing? What am I missing? I need to put that in so that I could be exactly like you. But I don't know where people are really going for this information. You know, Reddit maybe, but there's LinkedIn groups, there's Facebook groups, there's too much. You have to know they exist before you can, they're not really discoverable over there. So it's weird, but you know, I think it's just not a problem for MSPs looking for good information. It's a problem for vendors too. Like, how do they get their feedback? When we were sort of consolidated, they could go, oh, people are really starting to talk about this feature and how they don't like it or should be different or whatever. And we would see the vendors chime in and start to work with the MSPs and go, oh, we can fix that for you. We can make that better. We can add that feature or get rid of that feature, whatever it was. I feel like everybody loses when we're so dispersed.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that people have been trying to wrangle that that explosion with the contraction. It's the way the world works, right? There's always an expansion and then a contraction that follows. We see that with monopolies. We see that with business. And so it's really interesting right now. I mentioned Discord. I feel like I'm in 10 different Discord communities following vendors. And so that's places that I can go give feedback or they interact with us. But it's all segmented. You have to go seek it out or find it. And again, it's a lot of content that not necessarily is what you need at any given point in time. One more thing to kind of tack onto that is like, I think with the concept of how we're able to go and collect a bunch of information now, we've been doing this for years, but with LLMs, we're going and we're scraping a bunch of information that's documented. And what do technicians hate more than anything? Documentation. Well, maybe they hate other things, but documentation is pretty high up there, right? And so one of the things about like LLMs being able to gather information is it has to exist in some form to be gathered. And so I think that there's also a part of this conversation that requires us to give back and to be actively participating in the creation of documentation in some of these online communities where we can actually create that. And so it's not so much about where do you find it, but are you actively looking to put it out there so that you can connect back that information if we're using, you know, some sort of generative AI to go through and pull all that information to one place.
Why do MSPs exist? You know, one of the things that I drummed into my staff at my MSP was the only purpose of IT is to make business better. So that was our whole reason for being. Let's make businesses better. I feel like this is now related well into this shadow question. This new AI era, like you're trying to do something, you say to your client, right? You're trying to do something. As the MSP, we better understand what it is that the client is trying to do. They're trying to solve a problem and they're going out and finding the solution. Understand what problem they're trying to solve and then help them do it right, do it safely, do it with guidance and guardrails in place. And make their business better. I really, truly, I think that's why MSPs exist.
or one of my favorite concepts is appropriate technology. So if someone needs transportation, you don't have to give them a Ferrari. You might just want to give them a bike. And that is our job as MSPs. A lot of times we get our end users, or even us, we can get in our heads about the technology instead of the actual problem solving.
I hear you. I see that all the time too. Like, yeah, the 200 hours, like everybody's using that 200 hours number, like it's magic, right? I spent 200 hours training this thing. I think it's the need to master a technology, right? So as tech people, you're trying to wrap your head around it. You're going to master this technology and make it bend to your will. You're not when it comes to AI, like, because tomorrow it's going to be different. They'll release a new version next week. All your 200 hours of training, it's not speaking to 5.5. That was so 4.5 ago.
Like higher level math. I think one of the people I heard a keynote a couple years ago, and they said that the point of being a teacher is not that you know everything, but that you're one step ahead of your students. And I think that a lot of times we get caught up in mastering the technology and understanding it completely instead of realizing or recognizing that our job is just to empower the people that we're working with.
Tales from the field!
What is this existential crisis that we alluded to? It is, what does it mean to be an Microsoft 365 based MSP in 2026? This was a literal question that showed up in Reddit. Like, somebody's having an existential crisis. Like, what even does this mean? I don't know what this means for my MSP. And I think they're having this crisis because everything is outside of their main purview. Like, suddenly, instead of working on devices all the time, like, there's no more server, there's desktops, they're kind of going to laptops, right? They're working on their mobile device. It's all in the cloud. It's all about Entra. It's all about policies. It's all about this stuff. It's not about, my thing is broke, come and fix the thing, right? It's protecting people's identity more than anything else. And that's a message I keep trying to get out there. Like, the first, forget about the device. We'll forget about it till later. But the main thing that they're after is your identity. And I think whatever system you're using, identity is what it means to be an MSP today. Like, this is your main technology focus that you have to do. And in the background, like, that's your background work. Foreground work's all the stuff we were talking about even earlier in this podcast about the relationship. But your background work is about protecting people.
I think that's a great point. I know a good number of MSPs that have moved away from supplying hardware, that they are like, bring your own device, which is, when you consider the way that technology does improve so rapidly, some of those systems, those previous systems of making money, don't make sense anymore. And so that goes back to the, how are you advising? You're not just a value added reseller, right? You're not just giving them something in exchange for money. You are advising them and making sure they're protected in all of the ways that maybe they haven't thought of.
Yeah. And you have to figure out how to make money from that. So I talked to some MSPs and they're like, you know, well, here's my stack and here's my price and here's my price per seat. But the thing is, if they're very rigid on the price per seat thing, anytime they talk to a client and advise clients, their profit goes down. And so I'm like, well, you need to find a way to be able to make money off of everything you do. Yeah, if you're really, really rigid on, here's all my tools and I'm selling you access to all of these tools, you're totally missing out on the advisory piece. And I don't think that going forward, clients are going to care about your tools. I think they're only going to care about your advisory services.
We've seen it in some cases where vendors are going around the MSP and selling directly to the customer. Like, there are many places where just only selling things as a transaction is not going to get us as far as they did before. There's a lot of upheaval you know, 2020 kind of changed a lot of stuff for, I think a lot of the shadow IT happened as well in 2020 when people were like, okay, I'm home with a device. What do I do now? How do I get my job done? And we did, MSPs did an amazing job of responding to that influx of need, but there's a huge gap between what we're actually doing and how we're actually taking care of customers versus what necessarily we've done in the past now. So
how should we be taking care of customers today?
So I have opinions. Do you have, was that a rhetorical question first or
no? I want to hear your opinion. I want to hear it.
I got a lot of them.
I'm ready.
So in my perspective, we've worked with several hundred MSPs at this point, and I've, with my software company, I was familiar with a lot of them. So I've seen a whole, it's amazing how different all MSPs are. The ones that I've seen that are the most successful are the ones that are actively making sure that they have people in front of their people, in front of their customers' people. So there's a lot of MSPs that are like stack, price per seat, number of tickets, flat rate every month, all you can eat. We'll, you know, answer all of your questions via email, but we want to automate as much stuff as possible. So yeah. Automation's amazing.
Automation's amazing, but you know, we don't actually want you to call, because if you do, we're not making as much money as we could have if you never called us.
Right. And so one of the things I love Simon Sinek. I follow a lot of his stuff, and I was listening to a podcast from him a little while ago, and he was talking about how human interaction is a luxury, especially as you look at, again, the emergence of AI. I've been so annoyed that this is the only topic that everyone talks about, and now I'm on a platform and talking about it. But so, you know, we talk about how there was that AI slop commercials between Burger King and McDonald's, but then at the same time, I think it was Porsche put out a beautiful handmade ad, and there was this difference. There's this very clear difference between the care and intentionality that goes with having a human interaction versus when you just automate everything without the connection. And so as this echoes every bit of the conversation we've had up to this point, but our job is not to just complete tickets. It is to be there in front of the customer. It is to walk with them. It is to be there in hard times and to be intentional about the hard times and not shy away from them, to approach them like these hard conversations about governance and about all these things. It's our responsibility to be doing that. And so that's, to me, that luxury of human touch is what IT companies need to be doing as we move forward in 2026 and on.
Yeah, I think it's what they're going to be buying. So I'm seeing right now in my peer groups and in general in the world that MSPs are all complaining that they're not getting enough new clients. They're having trouble obtaining clients. And of course, all the marketing gurus in the world want to jump in and go, well, let us do your marketing. I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is that clients aren't buying. They're not interested in what you're selling anymore. Like if you're selling security, you're selling management, like, you know, yeah, you need someone to fix your printer, right? That's why you need us, right? It's not selling anymore because they've kind of realized that maybe they don't need you as much. Like they can just ask. And I think that if I think AI is going to end up being built into everything that we have. Like our computer will become self-healing because if something goes wrong, we're just going to ask it, why is this wrong with you? And it will just fix itself. I do think that will happen. It seems like futuristic, like way out there, but I think it's going to happen. Yeah,
I
think it's going to happen in the next 2 years. All this stuff is just going to turn around. And so after that happens, then what? Right? Then what? If you don't have that human-to-human thing, I think it will always be true that people like to do business with people. I wrote an article a while back called People Before Process. Mm. And when I said, like, you know, when's the last time you really enjoyed being stuck in that phone tree? Like, nobody should ever know that they're stuck in a process with you. Like, you should never put your clients through a process. I read something really interesting about how Starbucks is going to implement AI. And they said, well, they already have, but it's all behind the scenes and you don't see it. So that when you go to the drive-thru a human answers the thing and greets you, but they're not actually taking the order, and AI is listening in the background and taking the order and placing it. All they're doing is talking to you. I think that's where MSPs have to go. I think we have to go to, I'm the person, I'm the interface to the AIs that are doing a whole bunch of work in the background, right? But without me, you don't have access to our awesomeness that we've got behind the scenes. All right, upcoming channel events. I'm going to be speaking at James Mastermind event over in Omaha, July 30th and 31st. You can hear me and James in the same place at the same time speaking. That'll be pretty awesome. We only get together and do that maybe once a year. I think it's been like a year and a half now, so this is really special. I hope to see you guys in Omaha. I also want to tell you about a Zero Trust course that we've got starting on May 29th over at Third Tier. You've probably heard this term Zero Trust way too much in the past, but I don't know. It still has that title, but it's all new content, including AI Pillar. And at the end of this thing, Paul, who's my instructor for this, he's got this all mapped out. So you're going to be able to automate and make this a total repeatable process. So if you're looking for that way to standardize, particularly your Microsoft 365 stuff, this is the course for you. It's three sessions over 3 weeks. And thanks for joining me today as a co-host, Al. I really appreciate you being here.
It was a pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you for listening and or watching. Dave breaks down the IT news of the day on his show, The Business of Tech, with bonus content on the weekends.
Watching this on YouTube? Be sure to like and subscribe so you always know you've got our latest episode. We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to use the contact form on the SMB Community Podcast webpage. That's smbcommunitypodcast.com. Or leave your comments on our YouTube episode page. Produced by Picture This Video. Part of the MSP Radio Network.